Gideon and Abe and Josiah, and they've been traveling, and it just worked out that we fit into their plans to have a Sunday off and him to be here. Born and raised here, and just some of our youth group may remember Steve. We went to see the Sight and Sound play, and then we went to church with them that Sunday morning after there at Union Hill Church of Christ. I think we came in there with about 60 people that morning. And we know Steve, and I tell you, all the years that we've been doing youth group travels, all the youth rallies we went to, and Gabe and Gideon and Josiah, some of the best young men I've ever run into. And this is just an outstanding family, and we're honored to have you all today. Let's have a prayer before Steve comes up. Father, we just thank you so much for your son, for your gospel, and for your church and your plan. And Father, we thank you for the mission to make disciples. And Father, we thank you that Steve has allowed himself to be discipled by your son. We thank you for his parents who have brought him up in your word and in your ways and in your church. We thank you for his family and for their service and their life dedication to serving in your kingdom. We're honored to have him here today, Father. We just pray that you anoint him with your spirit and that your love, your truth, and your grace would flow through him this morning, Father, that we may be built up and brought closer to you to be more like your son, to go out here and do your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I feel it's more like you worked me into your plans, so I appreciate that. This church, of course, has special, and I do thank my mom and dad for their influence in shaping me and the rest of my family that's here, but also this church that that there's nothing here to be certainly ashamed of, but very proud of what God has done through this congregation. And I'm just glad to have, in some way, a part of it. Amen. It's really a significant moment to be standing here because of the timing, especially.
2 days ago, Phil Powers died. Preacher who served some of my more formative years in the congregation. Then, of course, we have the events with the capital. The nation seems so divided in conflict. So, God has allowed me the opportunity to come and share a message with you that momentous timing. A lot of and that is amnesia. The psalmist writes, as recorded throughout Scripture in Psalm 78:11, they forgot what he had done, the wonders that he had shown them. Through our worship, through our communion, through our prayers, through our songs, all over the world, the saints are gathering in the name of Christ today to remember the story. And if I may, I would just like to take some time this morning to remind us of the story. Brothers and sisters, our father Abram met the Lord in Ur in the land of the Chaldeans. And God was so impressed with his faithfulness, he made him 3 promises. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a land promise. And I'm going to bless all people for you. That seemed far cry from morality, for Abraham was 100, his wife 90, Sarah, and she had been barren her whole life. But so certain were the promise that God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, from Abram, meaning the father of a multitude. And that promise would begin with the birth of a child. They named him Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. Isaac would grow up, and the threat continued because he married a woman named Rebecca, and she too was barren, but God would grant them children, twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau, that was actually born first, Jacob came second, and he was grasping the heel of his brother Esau.
In fact, that's why they
named him Jacob. Jacob means heel grabber. But a name came to mean deceiver, because Jacob was very deceptive. He tricked his brother out of his birthright, and then out of a blessing later in life, and the brother ran him out of town. He found himself in the face of the deceiver, his future father-in-law. He tricked him into working for him 14 years to get the woman he loved, Rachel, and the woman he didn't so much, Leah. But Jacob would have his own moment of terror. There, at Peniel, he encountered God, and he wrestled with God. And Jacob came out of that with a limp and a new name. The name now no longer is heel grabber, deceiver, it is Israel. Means he who strives. He would have 12 sons. And ironically, the woman he didn't really care as much about, Leah, would bear 2 sons, Judah and Levi, and the story would carry on in a dramatic way. But Israel was especially drawn to one of those sons, the one born to Rachel, named Joseph. The brothers could tell the partiality. They became resentful, and they sold Joseph into bondage. Joseph would go through a major spiritual roller coaster of his life, and some of those times he wondered if God had been there. God did. He rose Joseph up to be the second in command in the most powerful nation in the world at the time, Egypt. And when used through Joseph to save the nations around them by storing up food during the time of preparation. Family moved there, now starting to look like a great nation, a multitude. They moved to the land of Goshen, and they lived in peace for a period. Then a new Pharaoh comes to power. He did not remember what God had done. He enslaved the Hebrews. He forced them to build the great Egyptian cities
of Pithiam and Ramses.
And he became even more concerned as their numbers grew, and he decided that he would have all the male children killed. But one Levite couple decided they wanted to save that son, and they put him in a basket
and sent him floating down the Nile, followed by his
sister Miriam. And lo and behold, who would find him there? The daughter of Pharaoh. She took him out of the water, and she named him the Egyptian word for drawn out, Moses. And the name would be prophetic, because God had a plan for him to draw out the people from bondage. And so, in time, Moses returned there, take his people home, but Pharaoh's heart was hard. He considered himself a God among gods. There was Re, the God of the sun. There was Hapi, the God of the Nile. And one after one, God brought plagues upon the nation of Israel, striking down those gods. The sun became black, the Nile became blood,
and each god fell until Pharaoh was on his knees.
He allowed the people to leave.
But he became bitter still, and he
pursued them with his army. There in the Red Sea, God parted them, and Israel passed through, and they crushed them in the waters there, destroying those people, that army, that nation. And there, God brought them to Mount Sinai, and he repeated the promises made to Abraham. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a special place to live. And I will bless all people through you. The first next part of that, now that they are a great and mighty nation, a multitude, was that they were going to send them off to the special place to live. And right away, they made their way there to the Jordan. They sent out their spies, 12 spies, out into the nation to evaluate them and to see how they were doing.
And they came back and they reported what
they had seen,
what they had witnessed. Ten of the spies, well, all of the spies said the land was flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful place, lush vegetation. But 10 of the spies came back and said, but we can't take the land because here there are giants that live. Now, two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we can do it. With God's help, we can defeat them. But no, they said, we can't. And they listened to the 10 faithless spies. And God said, the curse for you for that lack of faithfulness in me is that you will wander the land 1 year for every day those spies were in the land, 40 years, until that older generation perish. And they did. But Moses would lead them there to again the banks of the Jordan and remind them of the promises once more God had made to them. But Joshua would lead them through. But they were not obedient to God. He had told them to cast out all the pagans and the Canaanites in the land, but they did not. And because they did not, they would be a thorn in their flesh. They would often find themselves oppressed by the pagan nations, and they would even fight among themselves. And the cycle would go. They would find themselves conquered. They would cry out to God, and God would send them a savior, a judge. Othniel, Ehud, Jephthah, Samson, Deborah, Shamgar. Judge after judge would come and bring deliverance and victory for that tribe. They would find peace. And once peace came, they forgot the Lord. And oppression would follow. And the people said, we know what the real problem is. We need a king like other nations. If we have the right king, that will solve all our problems. And here lied an inherent problem, of course, always with Israel. The danger was not that they would just fully reject the Lord God. It's just as they forgot him, they supplemented him with something else that they could put their faith in. Maybe that might be a person, or a place, or just a thing. But when they did that, difficult times would always follow, and oppression would follow. But God would give them their king. And things would start off well. They had King Saul. He brought military victory. But the arrogance and pride in that position, the power he had, would corrupt his mind and heart, and he would fall. Then came David. David also struggled with arrogance and pride, which led to adultery, even murder. But David had a unique quality because David would humble himself, would repent, and God would forgive him. And one day, David's love of God struck him such that he stood there and he thought, how could I let God rest in a tent
When I live in a house of cedar, I will build you, Lord, a house, a mighty house. And God said, no, David. There'll be something later, but let me tell you, I'm going to build you a house, an everlasting kingdom. And one of your descendants will sit upon that throne forever. David, I expected, hoped that would be his son Solomon. Things start well for Solomon, who asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. But he too would forget in time, marrying pagan wives. Rehoboam, the next son, thinks that, no, rule is about showing power and dominance and telling what's what and who's going to get what. And people said, no, thank you. And it split the kingdom. Because everybody wanted to be ahead of each other, not under God. 10 tribes would go to the north and establish a nation called Israel. And the two remaining in the south would be known as Judah. Of the 20 kings in the north, Israel will never have a godly king. All 20 will be godless. In Judah, only 8 of 20 are godly, and each time the nation spirals. Judgment will come upon them both. The Assyrians will come and destroy the northern kingdom in 722 B.C., They'll leave some of their own people there to marry with them, and that out of that union will come the Samaritans, which will be despised later by Orthodox Jews. The southern kingdom will be destroyed in 586 B.C. by the Babylonians, and they will exile the best and brightest of the nation and attempt to transform them, indoctrinate them in the ways of Babylon, but it doesn't work with some like Daniel because they refused to forget the promises and the stories of their God. The people, though, in time will ask God to deliver them, and he will through another nation, a pagan nation, King Cyrus of Persia. And the Persians in 539 BC will destroy Babylon and allow leaders such as Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the walls, the temple, the soul of Jerusalem. And remind him of the great promises that Abraham has made to our people. You'll be a great nation. You'll have a special place to live. And all nations will be blessed through you. But 400 years will pass in silence from the time the last prophet spoke, Malachi. But Malachi foretold of a day when the prophets would speak again, when the promise made to Abraham and to David would come to its ultimate fruition. John the Baptist, in the spirit of Elijah, began to proclaim, prepare the way of the Lord. The Messiah has come, and he pointed him out as Jesus. Everyone is excited to hear about a Messiah. They had been waiting for the Messiah, but in their idea, the Messiah was like David, an earthly king. And all their hope was placed in some kind of earthly power and dominion. And so they wanted a king that came bearing a sword, but Jesus did not. Slay our enemies, they demanded of Jesus. He said, no, love your enemies. Join our political party because we are the ones that have it all right and we will defeat. No, I'm not joining human alliances. Put your faith in us. We will show you how we're going to defeat Rome. My concern is not defeating Rome in the way you think. And because Jesus would not align himself with the human structures of the world of which they had put their faith and trust and hope in, they killed him. They crucified him, and they buried him. But Abraham became ash and David dust, but Jesus rose from the grave. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have hope and fulfillment of all those promises. We are a great nation and only a great nation, not by boundaries in contrast to other nations, but the nation of God exists wherever people lay claim to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are a great nation when we follow a great Savior. We received a special place of promise, a promise that is in a taste, a foretaste today in the church, but will find its fulfillment one day in heaven when God's kingdom will come in its fullness, and we are all citizen, card-carrying citizens of that place now if you've given your life to Christ. Amen? Our job now is to be a blessing, that third promise to Abraham, to bless the world in the name of Christ. And so what say you, you children of Abraham? You treasured possession. You royal priesthood. Will you keep the covenant? Will you proclaim those promises? Will you remember the righteous deeds of your God? The hope is not going to be in kings or vaccines for this nation. It will not be in presidents or parties or a pandemic. None of those wear the crown. Only God wears the crown. And he exposes the deeds of darkness, and his truth still shakes the very gates of hell. And if we remember that, then we have all hope.
This message is for you, and you're in need of giving your life to Christ. This is your time. If you're in need of prayer, we have an elder who's going to pray for you. Let us stand and sing this song of invitation.
Nearer, my God, to thee.